afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and my co-host today is Pastor Butch Paul, and we're going to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It is Tuesday, April 14th, 2020. Good afternoon, Butch.
Good afternoon, Melody. I was just thinking, when you said the 14th, we're almost halfway through April, aren't we?
Oh, I know it. It is the 14th, isn't it? Yes, it is.
It is. It is 14th. Yes, it is.
I know.
So, time is flying. I don't know where we're going, but we're getting there fast.
This is true. This is very true. Tomorrow would have been tax day, but we did get a little bit of a reprieve and from the good old boys. So, it is good to know. I was just looking up something on what they're selling Silver Eagles for online, and I was trying to get a price. 140 divided by 500. $24.28 for a box of 500. $24.28 each for a box of 500.
That is huge.
That's ridiculous. And that's.
Wow.
And if you were just. No, I take that. If you were buying two boxes, you'd be paying that. If you were only buying one box of 500. You'd be paying $24.80.
$25 a pop, almost.
$25 a pop.
Wow.
$10 over spot.
And is that the retail? I mean, that's retail price, I assume. What if you only bought, say, a sleeve of them, 20 of them?
Well, they probably charge them, you know. They probably aren't charging them by the sleeve. I mean, it's really hard to sell 20 when you have these types of prices and so forth. You know, but they're selling them as, you know, they'll sell them in individual at that price. Here's an example. Let me pull this up. If you were to buy 1 to 19, you'd pay $26.29.
Well, let me ask you, and you being the kind of person you are, isn't that ripping people off a little bit because they can?
Well, you know, if people want to pay that price, I mean,
I realize that.
I don't agree with it. Don't get me wrong. I don't agree with it. One of my buyers.
I know you don't.
One of my major, major buyers, very well known across this country, supplies bullion to probably every dealer in this country. A large many part of them. And he doesn't sell them. He says, I'm not going to sell them at these high premiums. He says, I'm not going to drive myself nuts, you know, looking around, trying to find, hedging myself and everything like this, because we all know the premiums are going to drop. You know, as soon as the mint begins producing them on a regular basis, the premium will drop. But then you have to ask yourself, where will spot price be at that time? So are you going to end up paying this amount anyway?
Can the mint not get the silver now? Is that why they're not producing at a regular rate?
No, they're closed down.
Because of coronavirus.
They're printing, but they're printing on a limited basis. You've got so many dealers that sign up to the U.S. Mint, a handful, 5, less than 10, I think. Every Monday, the Treasury will say, this is what we have to give you. I mean, some of the mines have shut down because of the virus. Supplies all across this country, no matter what it is, has slowed. So it's just not. It's almost in every industry where product
isn't.
The
Fed hasn't shut down. They're still printing money.
Yes, I know, and they're doing a tremendous job. They get an A+.
They certainly are. They certainly are. I mean, they're making money. Faster than any time before in history. I mean, I'm so proud of them. They're not scared of the virus.
No, they're not. Digits anyway. I mean, it's just a guy on a computer, you know, processing digits. So they don't have to. They don't even have to run the printing press because it's just digits. So, you know, it depends on how. And that's what I don't understand. I don't understand why, you know, because there's a lot of. discussions out there. You only want to buy American Gold Eagles and American Silver Eagles. That's all you want to buy. And they are wrong. So either you pay a weird price to get something that somebody is telling you that's the only thing you should buy, or you know, you're going to hold on to those paper dollars. So I don't know. It's what's suitable for each person, and that's what we've always done. We always sold based on what's suitable for each person. So, you know, if it's suitable for somebody to pay $26-$27 for a tube of Silver Eagles, well, they've got more money than I do. And that means silver has to go to 25, 24 before you even break even, maybe, with the premiums. So, I don't know. It's bizarre. But anyway, let's go ahead and see what the bizarre prices in gold and silver. Gold, we just about touched on 1750 today. Did back off a little bit, but still positive territory, up 1380. Then the New York spot price aftermarket at $1,727. Silver was up 23 cents at 15.69. And you got to remember, was it a month ago that silver was ready to break into the $11 range?
Yep.
So, you know, now we're hitting on going close to 16. So, you know, that's $4 or $5. So, platinum, of course, you know, gold is up a couple hundred. Platinum was up $30 at $784. Palladium was up $45 at $2,308. The USDX today was down 0.58 at 98.89. We've seen a lot of weakness in the dollar. Remember, it was, 101, close to 101. Earlier in the year. Crude oil, I'm glad they did the deal on the cutting back on that production. Crude oil was down 180 at 20.61.
Wow.
And let's see. Paper markets today were strong. The Dow was up 558 points at 23,949. The NASDAQ was up 323, 8,515. The S&P was up 84, 2,846. 10-year yields pretty much still holding around that 0.75%. June contract was 17. I think that's June. Let's pull that up and see. June contract, 1756. So a lot of people are following that very closely. Japan was up 3%. That was big for Japan. I don't wonder if their market went up before or after North Korea sent off its ballistic missiles. I don't know. And let's see if there's anything else interesting. You know, Bitcoin's trying to make a move. We're still below 7,000 though for that. And
well, let me comment what you're thinking there. You know, the markets are oblivious to anything going on. I mean, the markets are going up no matter what happens. People are out of work by literally the millions. The world's in unrest and chaos, and the markets go up. That is phenomenal. I mean, they must have armor shielding around them because nothing fazes anymore. Nothing.
Well, it's part inflationary. It's also due to the algorithms. You know, once they start moving up, they keep moving just like they did to the downside. And this is what happens. They have their little strike prices and so forth, and, you know, they can move to the next level without batting an eye. It doesn't matter what goes on. So not only should they eliminate corporate buybacks, but you shouldn't have algorithms running a stock market, paper investments. You know, but that's their little game. You know, they've got guys there with their little computers, and that's what they do. That's their job. I said these markets were controlled by computers 20 years ago. You know, when you look at things and they don't make sense, why? What else could it be? Manipulation? Sure, you betcha. There's a whole bunch of things that contribute to, you know, when things should be, you know, going down and instead they're going up and vice versa. I mean, look what they've done to the gold and silver markets. You know, there's a lot of trillions of dollars, billions and trillions of dollars in there that you know, can move markets. You have the Trump is on pace to spend more than the biggest
yep.
This is the headline. Than the biggest liberals of the last 100 years. And this
yep.
is actually a Fox News deal. And that is, you know, it's no surprise. I mean, he's been doing it since he's been in office with the support of Congress. And, you know, they just keep doing it. Keeps, you know, I don't know. I mean, I think he has an idea. I think he's just trying to see how much they can get away with. But President Trump, with the support of Congress, is poised to preside over an unprecedented explosion of government spending that is already set to shatter deficit records and can grow further if plans for more relief bills nearing a potential total price tag of $5 trillion become reality. Well, you know it is going to become reality. You know
well,
it is.
It pretty much has to now with all this
yeah.
going on. But, you know,
yeah.
the central banks are still buying more gold. I mean, so they're hedging a bit, so to speak. I mean, they're still buying gold through February and into March. See, Mel, it's amazing that the people with the power to do so protect their wealth with real assets while we sit and wait for a government check. There's a big difference, isn't it?
Yes, there is. Yes, there is.
I mean, it's amazing. In 2018, the banks bought 656.2 tons of gold. That is amazing. That's a lot. 650.3 tons in 2019. So we're seeing banks protect themselves by buying gold, you know, to put back, I guess we'll say, in reserves. You know, so if they know something we don't know, everybody's hoping and praying for their bailout check of $1,200, and I'm not saying they don't need it. That's not the point. The point of it is, we're looking for a piece of paper or a digital computer while banks are buying real assets to protect their real wealth. Now that's the difference, folks. Somebody has been duped here, and it's not the banks. Go ahead, Melanie.
Of course. And but you know, it is interesting because, you know, we talked before this all happened, you know, we heard it was the greatest economy in the history of this country. And, you know, there was comments in this article about that President Trump during the first 3 years didn't do anything to bring down the deficit. Of course not. He had to use the money in order to you know, pump into the system, the stimulus, but it was all fake. It wasn't real. It wasn't real demand. It was all stimulus coming from the government and the Federal Reserve. And once you're there, there's no going back. There's absolutely no way we could have or will be able to work ourselves out of this problem, grow ourselves out of this problem. And Butch, I know, I talk to people every day. They have hope.
Sure.
Well, we're hoping, you know. And it's like, no. It's like they don't want to face the true reality of things.
Well, you know, when the president himself talks about a global reset, so to speak, it's got to be imminent. I don't know when it's going to be. I say imminent. It could be next month, and I don't know, 10 years now. But the world economy is so far in debt. The nations are so far in debt. They all know they can't pay it back. So they have to do something to get this reconciled somehow. But when they do, it's going to hurt the population of the countries. And America is going to be probably the worst hit because we're so spoiled already. We won't know how to deal with it. There's other countries who never had anything will. This global reset is going to wipe out jobs, cut salaries, cut out retirement funds. It's going to do a lot of damage to people in the countries around the world. And Americans, are, as a whole, are not used to hardships. You know that.
No, we haven't had a bad day.
No, we haven't.
We really haven't. And we should be thankful for that. But boy, when it's going to hit, it's going to bite. And it's going to hurt.
Well, when you see the fact that Macy's, it says that this article, Macy's, Gap, and Kohl's could collapse. And this is not, folks, this is real stuff. Iconic retailers are struggling to survive during catastrophic virus crisis worse than 2008 financial crisis, with 15,000 stores to close for good. More than 250,000 stores temporarily closed since March amid the virus. Macy's, Kohl's, and Gap Incorporated all said in March they will furlough staff. Core Site Research predicts that 15,000 stores will permanently close this year. 15,000 stores. This is the most catastrophic crisis that retail has faced, worse than the financial crisis of 2008, worse than 9/11, one expert has warned. So, Melody, I mean, this in itself is a huge adjustment for 15,000 stores. If they had 50 employees each, that is a lot of unemployment, is it not?
It really is.
And so, I mean, people are getting laid off that wouldn't have thought they would have got laid off. Matter of fact, my youngest son laid off his job today, but nonetheless, he'll be all right. His qualification gave him some wealth. But the point of it is, it makes no difference how you are, how you feel about these things, or what kind of hope you have. When you're laid off, you're laid off. That's just the way it is. I mean, we can hope against hope that they'll fix it and get it back tomorrow, but it won't turn around. If they put everybody back to work tomorrow, it would take months to get it back on par. It's not going to happen overnight.
And this idea that factories...
Many stores aren't going to survive. Many stores aren't going to survive anyway. Go ahead.
No. And the idea that these factories are going to be running back to the United States because of the situation with China? Are you kidding me? There's going to be some coming back, but nothing meaningful. And then those that do come back to the States, you know, it's going to be all technology and robotics. So how many... Sure, it might employ some, but not to the degree that people are hoping. I mean, the world has changed. And we have changes, and we won't be the manufacturing country of the world. The only way that can happen is if our wages are going to be $1 an hour, if that much.
Yeah.
With no health benefits. But we know they're pushing the UBIs, and why is that? Because there are no jobs.
Well,
the
Pope himself is pushing
the UBI. There's issues with technology already, huh?
What? Yes. The Pope himself is pushing for UBI. The Pope. Like I said, business, being away, this man is pushing for an UBI, a worldwide UBI. So...
And it's going to happen.
It's going to happen.
It's going to happen.
It's getting momentum, that's for sure.
And what's going to happen is our break. That's also for sure. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk CommonSenseTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. You know, we had that major storm go through yesterday morning, and, you know, we had rain all day, high winds of, you know, who knows what. And a beautiful day here on the eastern shore of Maryland. And I'll tell you what, the pollen is already floating. The waters or the ponds and everything are already floating the green stuff. And it's like, oh, that happened pretty quick after that major storm yesterday. I was hoping the rain would keep it out of the air for a little bit, but no such luck. So anyway, not that that's anyone's interest, but mine only. 800-375-4188.
I'm sorry, go ahead, Melody.
I was just going to get my number. 800-375-4188, Butch.
The sounds of spring are birds singing and people sneezing.
Yes. And this year, coughing.
There you go. Yeah. And runny noses and all this stuff. But anyway, hey, here's something's going to break your heart. J.P. Morgan profits sinks nearly 70% as it braces for loan defaults. I mean, J.P. Morgan, that's a huge, huge bank. Quarter profit tumbled by 69%. So they're going to set aside an additional almost $7 billion to cover potential losses on loans to consumers. And business is struggling, of course, damn business. So J.P. Morgan losses cut, sinks nearly 70% as it braces for what's coming. So I don't know what that's going to mean. I can't imagine a bank going under because they didn't do it in 2008. We bailed them out. Somebody pulled these out, I'm sure. But some banks are actually closing down branches, Melody. You know that, right?
Well, absolutely. I mean, you know, it's all par for the course. It's all part of the design.
It is.
And people just going on hoping, thinking that things are going to be great. This is all going to pass by. There aren't going to be any changes, and we'll all live happily ever after.
Well, here in West Virginia, three or four, maybe five that I know of right now, hospitals are shut down. I mean, yeah. Hospitals in good-sized towns like Clarksburg and some in Charleston, the capital. The hospitals are closing down. They're trying to find some way to save them. But now we have banks closing down hundreds of branches across country. I don't know what all this is going to come down to. But it's awful and handy to need a hospital and you're done close to home, or you need to do some banking and you don't have a drive through anywhere near home. You have to drive to some headquarters maybe an hour away or longer. That's unhandy. But that's the way it is. It's happening right now as we speak. So I don't know if people think come out of this, Melody, but it's not looking good even for the banks as far as the employees.
I have a question. Have you seen anything about the Red Cross lately?
No, I haven't. I mentioned.
Well, you know, usually, you know, in situations like this, there would always be a push for, you know, donations and, you know, helping and so forth. Maybe because there's just so many job losses and so forth. I don't know. Maybe they're helping. I don't know. I just, you see a lot of what I see when I think it's great, because this is the way it should be. You have a lot of local charity movements. You've seen the local food banks pop up. You've seen, you know, a lot of things like this locally that have been revived that for a long time I think has pretty much been shuttered. So I think that's a great thing.
Yeah, I do.
You know, people are, yes, I think that's a great thing that's happening because that's how it's supposed to work. We're supposed to all help those in our communities, those who are having tough times. So I guess to some degree that's a good thing.
It is. Communities should support one another. And if communities were stronger at that and more unified, perhaps we could even be able to expose this coronavirus hyped up hoax a little more if we were more organized. But you mentioned food supplies, and I know for a fact that some food banks are having a hard time keeping food, but my goodness, Smithfield Foods has shut down its pork processing plants in a major U.S. plant. Beef processors are shutting down plants because of this. Even Tyson is shutting down plants across country. If the meat isn't processed, the farmers aren't selling it, and the meat isn't processed, it's going to come up a shortage in the stores one day. And, of course, that's going to mean higher prices for what there is. So I don't know. We're seeing food riots in other countries. Could it happen here? Of course it could happen here. I don't probably think it wouldn't. It could happen here. But when food processing plants shut down, Mildy, there's no way that they're going to put that on the shelves, is there?
No, absolutely. I mean, the system is breaking down.
So I don't know exactly what the Americans are going to expect, but they said they're going to be hit by shortages, and that means the higher prices. So if it is in the store, you're going to pay more for it. Like I said last week, it was in some places, eggs went up from $1.06 to $3 a dozen already in the Midwest. That's over double the price on eggs. So it doesn't sound like a lot, but Melody, when you're feeding a family of four or five people, you're used to paying $1.20 for a dozen eggs, now you're paying $3.20. That's a hurt in the wallet, is it not?
It certainly is.
So people have to understand that America is not immune to shortages if we don't produce. America's been blessed because we've always been a resource for people, and as a whole, a very ambitious people that are willing to work and produce and take care of themselves as a whole. And we were much better at that, of course, years and years ago, back in the 50s, and when I was just a young guy, we manufactured everything in our own country. That's, of course, a thing of the past. But people in America almost always used to raise their own gardens, have their own chickens, and take care of their own livestock on small farms. Even those in the city, you know, had milkmen, eggmen come by and drop off the milk and eggs fresh from the farms. Of course, that was outlawed because you can't buy fresh milk most places. After all, you may get sick. And eggs, and all, so they had to cut all that out. So they have to go to mass manufacturers and poultry farms and other things to make the eggs and the food we're going to have. But I remember as a young boy, the milkman drop off a couple quarts of milk every morning, fresh out of the cows, 10 cents a quart. Remember the ones that had the little paper tabs on top of the bottles?
I do.
The glass bottles.
I was told about them.
You were told about them. I'm telling you now, they were real. we'd return the empties, and he'd leave the full ones. Mm-hmm. And I remember one time, it's a whole different story, but we had a big black dog. It's kind of a border collie shepherd mix. And I remember a guy my age named Robbie Swicker delivering the milk one morning. He was hollering for us in the house. We went out in the house, and our dog Blackie was his name. He said, he'll let me put the full ones down, but I can't take the empties. So he's making sure nothing was stolen. But those are days when the delivery of food to your house, eggs and milk were brought by the dairy man, whatever. That's changed in America. We no longer are self-sufficient. We no longer do that. We depend on Kroger's and Piggly Wiggly's and all, whatever stores you have in your area to get the food in for us. And when the farmers don't produce it, it doesn't come into the stores either. That's my little story.
I said,
go ahead.
I've been saying for years, get to know your local farmer.
There you go.
You know, don't just wait for times of crisis to visit him. You should have been, you know, stopping by, picking up his couple eggs that he had out front to sell every now and then and say thank you and ask him what his name is and give him a Christmas card or a Christmas cookie or, you know, so. But
I agree. Totally agree.
Yep.
You know, I'm blessed where I live. I can get fresh eggs, fresh milk, fresh butter right off a neighbor not too far from us, known for years. These are the things that I'm very thankful for. And of course, I have some beef in the field. As long as nobody shoots and butchers one day, they get hungry, I'll have beef in the freezer. But these are the things that people are taking for granted for so long. We just walk in the store and the shelves are full. Well, that's ending right now. When it's going to start coming back, I don't know. but I don't want to depend on somebody else to try to feed me all the time. I want to have somebody to at least put some food on the table myself.
And you know what I really find interesting is around where I live, the big grocery store, the stores, the regular grocery stores, they're normally out of butter, they're out of eggs, they're out of this, they're out of that, and the meats are limited and so forth. But a lot of your, as I mentioned, a lot of your little local farms, they do have the bread, they do have these other things. They have the produce, they have this, they have that, and it's they have the toilet paper. And it's amazing that these littler places are actually providing things more so than the big grocery stores. So I don't know. I don't know if it's just because of the contracts, the way the grocery stores are set, that limits them to be able to go outside their normal delivery systems and so forth. But yeah, I'm actually quite surprised. And I hear people telling me, "Well, I went here and I got this, I got that," and it's like there's nothing that people are really, you know, there's things there. So it surprises me. I find that interesting. So anyway, does it mean anything? I don't know. It's just interesting.
Well, if it's local growing, if it's somebody, a farmer produces it locally, I can't say that everything is non-GMO. Obviously, I can't say that because most farmers can't even find non-GMO seeds. But we know it's growing by an individual that we can see what he's doing and see the results of. It's not in some corporation plant somewhere where who knows what they're spraying on it, what they're doing with it.
Like China. So I think we get a lot of our produce from Guatemala,
Mexico. Yes.
There's another country.
But I do enjoy in the mornings when I get up for breakfast to get a fresh glass of whole milk with some of the cream still on it, right out of a cow that came out that evening before, and drink with breakfast morning. I enjoy that very much. I enjoy eating some fresh eggs that were laid the day before. I enjoy that. I'm blessed that way. And fresh cow butter just made. I'm a country boy in the OEM, and I grew up on those things. But you know the cow butter actually tastes like real butter. It's not margarine. There's a big difference.
Oh, absolutely.
Big difference. You know, and much better. Oh, good for you. The right kind of fats.
Better for you than the margarine.
Pardon?
Butter is better for you.
Oh, absolutely. Much, much, much better for you. That's been proven by science now. Even scientists are realizing that. Eggs are not deadly. The cholesterol in the eggs are what feeds your brain. They're starting to realize some of this. God knew it all along. He's the one who made it. As Dr. Rodriguez said, a lot of people said, if God didn't make it, it's not food. Mm-hmm. So this makes perfect sense to me, folks. Seriously, Melly's right. If you have somebody near you, if you're blessed enough, you're close to somebody that does raise some of their own food and sell it, produce or eggs, whatever it may be, or milk, go talk to them while you can before they're swamped, and let them know that you're interested in buying some things from them. Become self-sufficient.
There's a little farm close to where I live. They actually have a Facebook page, and then what they do is every day they'll post what they have available, and then you can call, make arrangements. You give them your credit card number, and then you can go drive by, and they arrange a time for you to come, and it's sitting on the porch, so you never have to see anybody, touch anybody, breathe the same air that they have, and you take your items and go home. So you have local areas, local farms, they might be doing, you know, maybe the same thing. So check it out, check your local farms, and see if they don't have a website or a Facebook page that might do the same.
That's good. That's wonderful. I didn't know they was doing that. That's wonderful. Really is. But back to reality here, too. You probably already know this, but this article says more than 21,000 U.S. cities brace for budget shortfalls because of coronavirus, with many planning cuts and layoffs. Now, this is out of Washington Post. I want to share this. This is kind of important. More than 2,100 U.S. cities are anticipating major budget shortfalls this year, and many are planning to slice programs and cut staff in response, according to a new survey of local officials released Tuesday, illustrating the widespread financial havoc threatened by the coronavirus pandemic. Now, here's a point I want to make. The bleak outlook shared by local governments representing roughly 93 million people nationwide. We have a third of the population working for municipalities, for governments. Representing 93 million people nationwide, led some top mayors and other leaders to call for a greater federal aid to protect cities now forced to choose between balancing their cash-strapped ledgers and sustaining the public services that their residents need most. with the bleak outlook shared by local governments representing 93 million people nationwide. I mean, that's population of town, sure, but think the people that work for the governments in these places represent 93 million people. Wow. But the cities can't maintain themselves. The states can't maintain themselves. The federal government got more taxes, that I understand, than they ever have this last quarter. But the cities and states are going to be hurting, Melly, because they depend on the local populace to keep things going. What's going to happen when the city trash company can't afford to go pick up the trash? When the water company can't keep the water coming? These are things we don't think about. We take for granted. Electricity. I mean, we have people out there working on the power lines. What happens if people can't pay the power bills? And they just, somebody tell me what's going to happen. It doesn't sound pretty to me.
No, and we talked a little bit about this yesterday, and then all of a sudden you have, you know, a state of emergency because of a hurricane coming through, and you have the power outages. There was a lot of people without power yesterday.
Yes.
So, yeah. The tornadoes going up through the southeast.
30,000 here near Charleston, West Virginia, Kanawha County, without power because of high winds. Now, up to 75 miles an hour, that's pretty good. That's pretty high wind.
Certainly is.
Yep, that's happening. So would it be stretched too far? I mean, and the power companies and gas companies in California are being sued out of existence because they supposedly the sparks from their power line started the fires, and they're being sued. As a matter of fact, they're thinking about they're going to sell out to make it. Was it PG&E, I believe they call it, that are going under? So I don't know, Melody, what this is going to bring. The infrastructure in this country, the roads, the electrical grids, all these are crumbling. They haven't been updated to speak of for decades. So I don't know. We're seeing gas line explosions in homes. They'll blow their homes clear to oblivion because the gas lines haven't been updated for 50 years or longer. This is a failing infrastructure. It's a sign of a decaying nation economically.
I couldn't agree with you more.
So I think we need to weigh these things out. This coronavirus, whatever it is, and whatever this shutdown is going to affect more things than you and I can even imagine ourselves. It truly is. It's going to affect me and you, and it's going to affect all of us. So that's my little spiel for this part.
Absolutely, and you know, we talk about what's going to happen here. Let's take a trip around the world.
Oh, yes.
Around the world. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned. Won't you lay it on the line? I need to hear it just one more time.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light Systems today. today, complete with two Black Berkey Elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hey, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Paul.
Hey, Paul. That sounds really formal. I tell you what now.
Did you like that?
I like that. That don't happen very often. I get called other things, as you know.
I was just going to say, you're lucky I didn't say the other.
Oh, my goodness. Folks, we really are about halfway sane, so don't think we're totally nuts. But.
Oh, my goodness. What's next? I'm going to just let you...
Laughter, the Bible says, a merry heart works good like a medicine. So, as a medicine. So, I like to laugh. I truly do. It's good for you.
So many people, a lot of folks, they have a difficult time in understanding my humor, though. Because I kind of have a dry humor.
Well, that's okay. My dad did, too. I understand that. I do.
And nobody seems to get that much. Anyway.
Well, again, laughter is so important in their lives. It's a gift from our Creator that does help people get along. You know, when I'm around other people, I can get serious. We talk about serious things. The Bible study, we talk about some very serious things. We discuss very, very important issues. But I also like to laugh with him, pick on the people. Of course, they pick on me. Because we're family. We enjoy each other's company. If I didn't like people's company, I'd be miserable. If I'm around somebody that I can't laugh with and joke with, then I'm really not a happy camper, because that's not me. I started pastoring my first church, and they told me that until I come, that they never had a laugh in the church. I thought, well, how miserable. You know, I mean, they just didn't laugh that much. I think being open and friendly and cordial and laughing with one another is a very important way of building relationships. I really believe that. So, anyway, that's my sermon for the day for y'all. But
well, thank you.
You're welcome. No charge. I won't even pass the plate today.
Okay.
But then another back to reality. The IMF says the world will very likely experience the worst recession since the 1930s. And in my opinion, the 1930s affected, I guess, other countries, but affected America more than any of them. But this is going to be much, much worse, because it is worldwide, and nations are paying for it around the world, maybe more than we're going to pay. I don't know. So then when the IMF gets involved and says we're likely to see the worst recession since 1930s, not that I like the IMF and necessarily trust them, but when they say that, maybe we should pay attention to them. They do have a lot to do with the finances of the countries of the world, don't you, Melody?
They do.
So maybe we should pay attention to that.
Well, you know, too, it's going to be interesting, because today Goldman Sachs came out and they said the downturn is going to be four times worse than the housing crisis, but then there's going to be an unprecedented recovery. I mean, they're looking at the second quarter activity is going to drop like 35%, while unemployment could hit 15%. But then they think the recovery in the second half of the year could be stronger than anything the U.S. has seen. Well, you know what? Chances are they're going to do the infrastructure. We have an election. So I think it depends on who gets elected. There's a lot of, ifs that could... You know, I don't believe we're going to have the greatest recovery that we've ever had, stronger than anything the U.S. has seen, because you have an election in there. Although you do have, you know, they're going to pass the $2 trillion infrastructure deal. That's going to get done. No matter who gets elected, that will be completed. They will pass that if we make it that long. And that far into the year, all these other little numbers are going to come up as far as, you know, what is, the earnings and everything. So I don't think we're going to see the greatest recovery in the second half of the year. being the stronger that the country has ever seen. I don't buy that at all. But what's interesting is Goldman Sachs is saying it's going to be four times worse than the housing crisis. And the housing, you know, the only, and again, I go back to the infrastructure spending. Pump $2 trillion in the economy and things are going to hop. So I don't know. I don't know, Butch, but it's temporary. And that's what people don't get. It's temporary. If it does
happen. Very temporary. And inflationary.
And inflationary. You're talking $2 trillion coming right into the economy.
And they already put 2.2 in it.
Yeah. That has yet to hit.
But it's coming. Some people already got it. I don't know. I don't know if anybody yet has got their stimulus check yet. I don't know if anybody has. Maybe somebody has. I don't know that.
So, I mean, it's coming. Inflation is coming. So, good. You can go work and then pay, you know, $8 again for gasoline. But anyway.
Well, you mentioned 15% unemployment. What is the rate right now, the honest rate? Isn't it closer to 30% right now?
It is. It is.
It has to be, at least that much, maybe more.
Well, the 15% is government numbers.
They probably taste 15% right now. We know that, over 10 million have been laid off than we know of. Mm-hmm. So we know it's closer to 30%, probably higher than that. And the people that feel it are the ones that are not working. And for a while, they may be okay because they get 600 more, I think, every pay period than they normally would get with this stimulus bailout. But it's going to eat up inflation. It's not going to last forever. And the end results are going to be much worse than the beginning of it. That's all I can say. But now we're getting to the point in America where we're going to see private industry more nationalized than ever has been. This article about the U.S. airlines are nearing acceptance of payroll aid plan. Now, this, folks, is important. I'm not going to read all part of it. This out of Reuters. Some large U.S. passenger airlines are close to accepting the terms of a $25 billion offer for government coronavirus payroll aid, with announcements possible as early as Tuesday, people briefed on the matter said. Airline industry officials expect all major airlines to accept the grants in the coming days. Folks, grants have hooks in them. Know that. And U.S. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin says on Monday he expects decisions to come out very quickly. Earlier, officials told Reuters all the large U.S. airlines were increasingly resigned to the terms. Now, listen, folks. They're resigning to the terms. They don't like them. But in order to try to survive, they're resigned to the terms. Once they accept, the money could arrive soon. Now, this is what's all about, equity stakes. Under Treasury terms, Reuters calculates that the government could end up with about 3% of American Airlines, which has the most employees of the U.S. carriers, and has said it was seeking about $6 billion of payroll out support. American also has the lowest market capitalization of the four main U.S. carriers, at about $5.3 billion less than the amount it would receive in aid. One airline official said the warrant price has been locked before Monday. According to airline market capitalization on Friday, the government could end up with 3% or 2.3% of United, 1% of Delta, 1.3% of JetBlue Corporation, and 0.6% of Southwest. Now, folks, that doesn't sound like a lot, but the government will go into the airlines business. They'll be partners with the airlines. They already control them through so many laws and statutes that they can't even count them all. But now they're going to own part of it. And this is the first buyout, so to speak. There'll be more because this isn't over yet. It makes me angry to see businesses who perhaps, maybe they're not the Snow White and they're not perfect. We know that. They're not Lily White pure. But these are private businesses that are being taken down through no fault of their own. And the government's going to buy equity in them. That is absolutely pure socialism. Actually, it's more like Nazism, nationalism. That's what it boils down to. Any comments?
No, I mean, and all these bailouts, not just that, but all these other loans and everything. I think there's a quote in there or a line in there where it's the banks get a 5% stake into these businesses from the loans from the government. Means government has a 5% stake. And I got paperwork from my accountant today that shows they're having a workshop on how, where you don't have to pay back your loan. They're having workshops. Government workshops.
To show them how not to pay it back.
How you don't have to pay it back. All of these loans is going to be all turned into grants. To where the money doesn't have to be paid back. But we still have to pay the government. Our taxes aren't going to go down.
Oh, no. No, they're not going down. And inflation itself is a tax also, you know that.
Yes. It's a silent tax. And it's just... The numbers and what they're doing is just staggering. Nobody talks about it.
No.
I think that's why they have these two-hour stupid... I shouldn't say stupid, but the two-hour media circus from the administration on every day, so nobody gets a chance to talk about what's really going on with government and the Treasury and the amount of money that's being funded and so forth. You know, briefs, the daily updates, media that's done every day to update you on the coronavirus instead. They're just pathetic. I can't even watch them anymore. They're
I don't
just pathetic.
Watch them anymore. I can't stand it.
They're just pathetic.
Well, you know, Cuomo warns of constitutional crisis like you haven't seen in a decade if Trump tries to reopen New York. Now, this is almost laughable. Cuomo is concerned about the Constitution? Give me a break. We're listening to two, and I'm saying this in a facetious way perhaps, two mafia heads, button heads, Trump and Cuomo.
Mm-hmm.
New York Governor Andrew Cuomo warned Tuesday that President Trump, Donald Trump should not try to reopen the state against his wishes, saying it would create a constitutional rights crisis like never seen in a decade, could result in a dramatic increase in coronavirus cases. The only ways if this situation gets worse is if the president creates a constitutional crisis, Cuomo said, MSNBC's Morning Joe. If he says to me, I declare it open, and that is public health risk or is reckless with the welfare of the people of my state, I will oppose, he said, and then we'll have a constitutional crisis like you haven't seen in decades. So it would be terrible for the president.
Yeah, but Butch, which is worse? We know who Cuomo is.
Of course.
We know who he is.
Of course.
But here you have the president that's claiming total authority over states.
Yep, yours. That's what I'm saying. Constitution. What constitution?
But that just goes into the face of what we've been saying for how long?
That's exactly
we
right.
We know who Cuomo is, but who's going to accept who Trump is now? And it's out of his mouth.
Well, I guarantee you most people will be tickled to death if he does it because they won't go back to work, and I can see their point. But we're watching two mafia kingpins go head-to-head. Now, people may have to want to. I don't care. Trump is not as pure white as everybody thinks he really is. His dealings in the past, his business dealings, have been corrupt, to say the least. He's been bailed out more than once by the Rothschilds and other banksters of this world. He owes them. We're watching two criminals butt heads here, and they're going to claim the Constitution. They care about the Constitution as a hog does about Sunday.
Yep.
Anyway, but some states are starting to coordinate to reopen. They really are, and that's, I guess, good in a way. But now, and I'm glad to see this. Coronavirus stay-at-home orders steer protests nationwide amid fears of economic collapse. I mean, we're seeing at least 15,000 cars and trucks are expected to descend on Michigan State Capitol on Wednesday to protest what they're calling Governor Gretchen Whitmer's tyrannical new guidelines to slow the spread of the novel coronavirus in the state. The so-called drive-by demonstration, in order to maintain social distancing, aims to bring traffic to a gridlock in Lansing and protest the Stay Home, Stay Safe executive order by Whitmer. So we're seeing kickback. In Ohio, they're kicking back. People are protesting on the side of the state capitol. They're getting tired of this. They're going to realize it's not what they say it is. I have videos on my website where people go watching in major hospitals in New York and in Dayton, major hospitals. No one's there. Parking lots are empty. And the testing centers, no, not even the staff is there. The tents are empty. People start to realize they've been taken on a ride here, and they're getting ticked off. It's about time. But then we have the president and Cuomo are going to fight over constitutional rights, people, after all. They've been protecting them all these years.
Don't you feel safe now?
Do what now?
Don't you feel safe now?
Oh, I do. I feel so much better. I really do. I tell you what. I feel better because I left some steam. That made me feel better for sure. But I'm laughing. It isn't funny, but it really is. It's almost to the point of being hilarious because of insanity.
Yes.
The insanity of all this. And, I mean, the president who declares himself king and the governor who's a mafia boss says he's not going to put up with it. It goes on and on and on. Just amazed. Totally amazed.
I know.
Anyway, I'll shut up now.
Oh, I know it. And but you know what? I don't know. You know, there's so much that floats across the internet. We don't know. Anyway, I don't know. We live in interesting times.
Yes,
don't
we do.
We, Butch?
Well, Deuteronomy 28:28, God said, I'll smite them with madness. You know, insanity. And we're living in those times.
Yes.
It's hard to discern what's right and what's wrong.
Yep.
Go ahead.
800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Give us a call for all your gold and silver coin needs. We're here for you, and we'll be back tomorrow. So until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.